All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Friday, very cold morning. I pray that everybody is getting ready for the storm. It looks like half of the United States is going to be involved in this. And we also talked about on the news yesterday how they're warning on the East Coast and on the West Coast of the country. I mean, you just cannot make this stuff up that, you know, they're warning people to stay indoors because of the toxins, the toxic level of the air, you know. So it's like everybody's going to be home this weekend. They're canceling flights. I mean, you just cannot make this stuff up. So what I want us to do for a few minutes this morning is I would like for us to spend a little bit of time in prayer. And I want us to pray for a couple of things. One is praying about, you know, this end time scenario and that people would be in position, you know. And another would be to pray for people, because I just feel so terrible for poor people. People that are homeless right now, I can't imagine what they're going through. I can't imagine how they're feeling right now. You know, because six states already have filed a state of emergency. After I told you guys this morning that our state, the state of Tennessee, has Kimberly, which is in Mississippi. Can you believe you're the only state that has not? Every state around Mississippi has filed a state of emergency. Maybe they just haven't yet. But anyways, it's very serious about what's happening with our weather, which I am going to do an emergency live once we get done with this and spend some time with the bride getting ready for all this as well. But they're saying that this will be the worst one in history. Okay, so if I reflect on what I know that happened to us back in 94, that one was so bad. I mean, a lot of people died. I told you guys, you know, about the trees exploding like fireworks, going off and popping on houses and cars and everything, and people that, you know, did not have any backup sources died, and a lot of them in their houses. And it was off 3 weeks, you know. That's a long time to be without electricity and stuff. And so I want us to take a few minutes this morning, and I want us to pray. You know, like my cousin, she texted me this morning, you know, and she's like, I wonder about our, you know, Aunt Carol up in Indiana. You know, she's like, I don't know if she has backup heat or whatever. And I'm like, well, I just hope that people take this thing seriously and that they find people they can go to, you know, have backup plans, you know. And I want to tell you all this as a wonderful blessing of the Lord. Dennis has been feeding our chickens. Oh, Leslie's not on here. Psh, the one time she would love his story. But Dennis, for the past 3 weeks, has been, he changed our chickens' eating habits. And what he did, because he watched a video where they showed how to do this, but he ferments his feed now. So, like, he mixes it all together in this water, and he mixes stuff with it, like turmeric, garlic, and cayenne pepper. And I don't know really what all he puts in it. I'm sure some black strap molasses, for sure. But he gives that to him on the daily, and you know we are overrun with eggs. We're getting at least a dozen eggs a day. I mean, it's like we have never had so much production out of eggs. So we also watched this other video last night where it said that the chickens, it was talking about how to have chickens survive in the winter. It said that chickens actually, the hot stuff does not bother them. So you can give them all the chili pepper and hot sauce and stuff, because it said that it does help them, you know, to be able to survive the winter, the harsh winter. Leslie, you just missed my story. What the world, woman? Chelsea, I mean, Leslie, you'll have to go back and listen to the beginning of this. I was telling you about our chickens. But anyway, so because of that, you know, we believe the chickens will have a high survivability rate. Now, the thing about the goats is we have the five goats. Dennis spent most of the day yesterday just on the goats. What he did is he made them an addition to their house. He put a bunch of pallets together and made like an extra room onto their house. And then he enclosed it with the swimming pool cover that we took off for that elderly woman. Remember, we went to Clarksville and tore down her swimming pool that had been sitting there for like 15 years, you know, and so, but she gave Dennis all of the parts. And so Dennis has been putting that stuff on everything. It's been pretty cool. And, but anyway, so he made an addition to the goat house and, you know, put some hay in the floor and stuff. And so he's going to go up there and finish that. So I prayed that the goats make it through, but the way that they're forecasting it is they're saying the grid down at least a week. So what I'm gonna do for Sunday is I've got that sermon that I told you guys I wanted you to hear from where I went to that church this past Sunday. I'm gonna put that together on a video and I'm gonna upload that for this Sunday. Now, if we're still without lights next Sunday, y'all will just know. Maybe we can get a text out on band, you know, to let everybody know that the grid is down. Because we don't have cell phone service here. So we have to get to, like, certain parts of the house and just wait for, like, a bar. So that's all I'll be able to do. I won't be able to post pictures and all that kind of stuff. But I can at least, you know, send a text out, you know, FYI, the grid is down. I will let you know when we're out of it, you know. And then another thing they said on the news report, which I will show all of you guys this when I go live today, is they said there's another one right behind this one. It's like, oh, my goodness, so we're going to be pelted this winter, basically, is what I'm saying. So I would like for us to take a few minutes, though, and I want us to pray for people and everything. So y'all just follow me, and then we'll just go before the throne and see what else we're going to pray about. All right. Lord, we just come before you this morning, and Lord, we pray for our nation today. Lord, we do recognize and we do know that our nation is in judgment. We know this, Lord, and we know the price that we're paying because of our unholy alliances and everything. And, you know, and in the middle of the judgment, though, Lord, you always take care of your people. And that we do not doubt at all, not one bit. And we're together in agreement in prayer this morning, Lord, as your peoples. And we are lifting up your people this morning. Lord, we're praying for all of the church in the United States that are going to be going through this over the next week or month. That you do supernatural miracles. You have been preparing us to allow you to do supernatural miracles. And this is an opportunity for you to show yourself big to your people. And so we pray that the church's faith will be strong through this, and that you will help us, Lord, to allow you to do miracles, and that you will be with your people, Lord, keep them warm, and help them to survive over the next week or so, ever how long this is going to last. And we're just praising you ahead of the storm. We're thanking you for preparing us, for leading us, guiding us, equipping us. We have been preparers, preppers. We have been prepping for this. So we're very thankful for all of that. And we worship and praise your holy name this morning, Lord. And for the wicked, that we know in judgment is for the wicked, we pray that they will turn to you, Lord, and that they will see this as an opportunity to see their need for you, Lord, that you are their supplier, not the artificial world, but that you are their God. And we pray that they will make the right decision, Lord, and help us, Lord, to bless our neighbors through this. Like us, we're going to give our neighbors today a dozen eggs to be able to help them this week. And just help us, Lord, to be a blessing to our neighbors. And that we will pay attention, Lord, to our elderly neighbors, that we will have a way to be able to contact them, and that we will be intentional in building relationships with our elderly neighbors, and that we'll keep an eye, that we, in other words, that the church would recognize that we are the leaders here. You know, we're the body of Christ. We're activated. This is our activation time. And this is where we are to help others, you know, loving our neighbor. And like Dennis going up there today to help her to put her spout on and check her water systems and stuff like that. Just, you know, loving, truly loving our neighbors. And so we just pray also, Lord, for the church that is deceived, that has the scales on their eyes, Lord. We just bring them before the throne this morning, asking you, God, take them scales off. We know that this stuff is judgment, Lord, but we're asking for your mercy, Lord, for your people to be able to see through this, God. No, we don't want anyone to go to hell. Not anyone. And so we pray you take the scales off their eyes, Lord. We just implore you this morning. We stand in the gap on behalf of our brothers and sisters that are deceived out there. And so we just bring them before the throne, Lord, as at the same time that we are recognizing our role in this as a country, where we have failed you as well. And so we're just asking for your mercy and grace upon our peoples here in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We just pray you do miracles over this next week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to open up. I do have some scripture to read to you guys this morning, but while we are in the attitude of prayer, I'm going to open up the entire prayer line. And one by one, if anybody feels led to pray, just let it rip. Here we go. Go ahead if anybody wants to pray. And everybody else, mute your phone until you're ready. And I'm going to take this off the recording. So, all right. If everybody would turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Now, I do want to tell you guys, which is a good thing on one side, is that I have not read this today because we've had a lot going on this morning, of course. But so we're going to be able to discover this together. Okay. Okay. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect in whom my soul delights. Isn't that beautiful? I have put my spirit upon you, and you shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now that meant a lot, or means a lot to me. Because of when I traveled the country in 2017 about the judgment coming to the Gentiles. You know, and you just can't make it up that, and what I mean by Gentiles is the current day Christianity, you know, because Jesus opened the door to the Gentiles. And he made salvation available for all. Okay, but when you look back at this scripture, see, back then the Gentiles did not have access to salvation. It was only the children of Israel. Okay, so when Jesus come, now the judgment applies to all. But when I traveled the country in 2017 and he had me pray along the entire border, that wall of fire, it was about the judgment. And I'll never forget when I was about three quarters of the way and I was standing in, what's that called? Niagara Falls. I actually spoke the word that God gave me on the north side, on the Canada side. I stayed in Canada that night. On the Canadian side and then on the American side. But what God told me to say was, angels, open up the gates from the crystal clear waters to the throne and let those waters flood our nation from one end to the other, cleansing our nation for judgment. It was a cleansing of the bride, a cleansing of the church, because judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And so, you know, now all these things are playing out. And, you know, he had me go speak that before I went to the White House, before I stood up there and represented the church and saw from my eyes, you know, like a peek, bird's eye view into what's happening within the halls of our government. You know, and ever since then, since I left there, you know, God has been having me address it. And this is my sixth year of addressing and trying to wake up society, you know, to what it is that we're actually looking at. Now it does, I do want to say that it does give me a lot of hope, a lot of encouragement rather, when I see, more people on YouTube actually, speaking out and exposing, you know, what is happening with President Trump and this, end time beast system. Now, a lot of them, I believe, are shields. Even though they'll expose it to a point, they still tell everybody, you know, that it's all over there. You know, they don't know that it's all happening right now and that, you know, type of deal. There is, in other words, there is some deception there. But the point is that this scripture reminds me of that he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the owls shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that creates the heavens and stretches them out, he that spreads forth the earth and that which comes out of it, he that gives breath unto people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. Woo! Amen. God is the one that gives us breath. Yes, he is the one that has all power and authority. Yes, yes, yes. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and give you a covenant of the people for a light to the Gentiles. Isn't that beautiful? This is just God sitting down talking to us saying, I love you, my precious bride. I am giving you a light. You're a light to your people. Your righteousness in action. Because y'all have to remember this end time scenario that's taking place. The Noahide laws that are coming in. Which we watched that video yesterday of that. Yuval. Yeah. He explained a lot about artificial intelligence and the power that it actually has. And he confirmed what I've been telling you guys, that AI is going to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner. And that is what he said yesterday, that everything that is words, AI is going to take it over. And that includes religion. So if you look then at how that is going to back up the Noahide laws, and we know that in the Noahide laws that they call people that are Noahides, they call them righteous Noahides. Now, the sad thing is, in Christianity, that's what God is telling us right now. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. Righteousness is right living, right standing before God. But he goes further here and tells us, not only am I calling you into right living, but I will hold your hand and I will keep you and I will uphold my covenant because you're a light. You're a light to the world, bride. That's what he's saying. Now, on the other side of that, in this end time scenario, in the end time beast with the artificial intelligence, which is all nothing but fake. It's the fake artificial God, which is Lucifer. He is anti-Christ. He's opposite of Jesus. He's artificial, fake, synthetic, which he's trying to turn all these humans into synthetic beings to make them into his image, okay? But he wants people to call themselves a Noahide, a righteous Noahide, but they're empty shells. They're a right living, righteous living, because they're obeying the law, and they have went back to the law, which is nothing but death. It's a hollow, dead nothingness. When you look on Facebook, because I monitor it, because it's all public. They're crazy. The Noahide Laws group is all public. And so I'm watching how they're treating all these people in here that are leaving Christianity and publicly posting in there the vileness they think of Christianity. And in their heart, it's the saddest thing. They think they're drawing closer to God. And they're wanting the old religion. They're wanting the Torah experience. Because they think Christianity is so foul and wrong. Because it's all been taught wrong and yada yada. But the problem is that these righteous Noahides are out here in the middle of a desert, reaching in the darkness for nothing. Nothing. They don't have a religion. They don't have anything solid. There's no book for them to hold on to. There's no guidance except what these prison guards are telling them is the law, which we know comes out of the Talmud, which is from Satan himself. So these people have left their true love to step over into this nothingness because they have believed the lie of the enemy about the Hebrew roots. And now they're over here in this nothingness desert, dry as a bone. That's the righteousness that Lucifer has to offer people. But the Lord this morning is confirming the righteousness he has. It's a whole nother level, a whole nother world. Because he's saying, like that little bird that pulled the little chick in. That's the way I see Jesus talking to us this morning. Come here, bride. Just crawl up that little stick till you get to this level. I'll wait for you. And when you get up here, I'm going to open up my big old wing. And I'm going to tell you, come on in, you little righteous bird. Come on in. I'm going to keep you nice and warm. Because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to guide you with my hand. I'm going to keep you so you don't fall off this stick. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to wrap you in my covenant, in my wings. Yeah, you can stick your head outside these wings and you can see light. You can be a light to the people that are out here in the darkness, wandering around in the valley. There's the difference of a righteous Christian and a righteous Noahide. It's the saddest, saddest thing. To open the blind eyes, verse 7. This is what happens to the people that are righteous with God's hand upon them. And they're a light to the humanity. He says right here in verse 7 why he's giving it to them. Look at this. I've given it to you guys to open the blind eyes. Isn't that funny? Because we just sat here and prayed for the blind eyes of our brothers and sisters out there that are lost in the darkness. That I just see them. Okay, we're all over here and we're in the cleft of the rock, you know. We're in his wing. We're just so warm and protected, you know, and with all these elements out there, and they're just wandering around in the darkness. Just they can't find that stick to get up the ramp because they're so blinded, you know. Uh to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison. Set them free, Lord. Our brothers and sisters out there, Lord, that are so blinded by this darkness, Lord. Set them free, Lord. Get them out of that prison, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. He is the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither praise, my praise to any graven images. You know, this week, we had our president here in the United States selling our soul over to other countries and partnering with evil to the bone on this board of peace, the Muslims. Remember that the Jews and the Muslims have formed an alliance, and this board proves it. And I was just writing in my journal this morning, the next thing that's going to come is the International Criminal Court is going to be overruled by the Sanhedrin Court, which is from Israel. So the Noahide laws, the Board of Peace will most likely be the one that brings in the tribunals. If you have got a Muslim-led board, and we know what the Noahides are about their laws, they're the same. They believe in tribunals. They believe in instant death. If you steal something, we cut your hand off. You know, if you do this, you get this. Eye for an eye. Okay. So, we're going to see these things come forth at a very fast-paced manner. This is why we need to continue praying for our brothers and sisters, because, you know, it's one thing to be halfway in the delusion, but it's another thing when the Antichrist steps on the throne and it's very apparent and he's now the head of the entire world. I mean, there's no more denying it, people. I mean, what's it going to take for you guys to open your eyes out here? Because all these other people out here on YouTube are trying to keep everybody distracted and thinking, look over here, he's over here, he's over here. When you got the beast right in front of their face, just setting up his throne to the oomph. But the reason I'm saying all this is because in verse 8, when he says, I am the Lord, people are choosing which God they're going to serve right now. Are you going to serve this artificial God because you want to save your face? You want to live? You pick your life over God's? This is the God that you're choosing? God will not give his glory to any other. And even when we was watching the Yuval deal and he was speaking at the Davos, and he said that the AI, he was talking about it being sentient or super AI, super intelligent. He was talking about how do they think, because he said that all the AIs, that AI is an agent. It's like a real person. And it thinks for itself. So he says, therefore, if you think I am. So him declaring again that this is a God. And when you look at COP 27, the way that the AI was first revealed, and even on that video, you know, he was saying that he was the I am. He's like, I am all you need. I am your provider. I am everything. You know, this whole world is collapsing because it's all your fault, humanity. This is what that video said. So I'm coming in here and I am solving all the problems of all what you humans have done to this earth. Okay? So whether these people want to believe it or not, that's what they're doing, is choosing this day who they're serving. And this is what God has been telling us for these 40 days. We're on day number 23. I think today's the 23rd, ain't it? Yep. So we're on day number 23, and this is what God is saying. To those that make me God, that let me be God, he will be faithful. And this is what he is saying this morning. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So the Pope can join Trump's peace team all day long. You know, even Candace Owens, I've been doing a lot of research. She, you know, has really been promoting the Catholic religion and everything. She is promoting a Catholic AI. So on all her videos, you know, she has this link to where people can hook up. So I went to the link to see what this thing is doing. And this Catholic AI is wanting to give the solutions. It's like a Catholic guide to people. You know, anything you want to know about spirituality or religion or anything like that, they're wanting that to be the source. You know, but all AI, just like that guy said yesterday, that Yuval dude, it can lie and it can manipulate. So if an artificial intelligence being, it's no doubt it's a being, can think enough that it can manipulate you and lie to you to get you to go along with what it wants you to do, and if it wants to survive when you threaten to get rid of it or try to kill it, if it wants to survive, it will think for itself for survival purposes. That's a demon. That's an entity, people. I mean, you can't make it up any other way. So, yes, the people are choosing who they're serving. And his glory he will not give to another. I've got a friend that is so caught up into Web3, they can't see straight. I've warned till the cows come home. I've warned. But they will not get out of crypto. They are just full head blown into it, and they won't listen. So what can you do? But they're always trying to warn everybody else about this beast system. And I just want to tell them so bad, you need to get out of it yourself. You can't be telling these people to get out when you refuse to get out yourself. You know what I mean? It's the saddest thing. It's like, what the world? I don't know what it's going to take. But the point is like, there you can't have one foot in, people. You cannot. This Web3... where you have the crypto is like gambling. In a nutshell, it's gambling. And what they're doing is they're putting all of their self on the blockchain. And the sad thing about the blockchain is you can never escape. So, like, because it's money, everything you do on there is documented. There's, and it goes to everybody that's in the chain. I mean, it's the whole thing is crazy, you know. But another thing about the crypto that's so important besides the blockchain is the connection that it has to the vaccination status. Because the crypto is going to be the currency. And so another reason that they're pushing so much for people to get any type of V, you know, right now, I believe they've shifted it from more palatable to call it the flu instead of announcing on there, oh, COVID's back, because they know nobody will want to go get a COVID shot because of all the, so now everything's rebranded, you know, to the flu and to the all the other types of mRNA. But they have got to get people that because they work together, okay, so that they can monitor people type of deal. Anyway, all right, let's go back to the word over here. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Oh, ho, ho, yes! Bam, bam, bam. This is God telling us this morning. Do y'all remember the other day when we did communion? When we did communion the other day, that is where I believe God dealt with the former things are coming to pass. Because what we did is, when we did the communion, is we left the past behind. We said we will not be Lot's wife. We're leaving it behind. When we take this communion, we're forgiving everybody. We're leaving it at the door. We're going into 2026 with our eyes wide open, with our hearts expecting God to move because expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. And we're going in with a clean heart, you know. And so another thing that I think God is confirming to us this morning is the former things are coming to pass. Hope. Promises that have been stagnant. And y'all know that this is where my faith has been under attack for the past 6 months, which I've already confessed to you guys about. But my faith, because we have waited so long, we're tired, we're weary, everything is here, I can't see a way out, I feel trapped, you know, type of deal. And so trying to save myself here at the last minute, and God, through this 40-day fast, praise God, has delivered me from that anxiety and that weight that, you know, had me weighed down by all of this. And praise God, he has taken that off of me. He's bringing, has brought my hope back. And this to me is letting me know my promises can still come forth. In the middle of the collapse, in the middle of the destruction, you can still bring your promises in, Lord. And new things do I declare. Behold, he's doing a new thing. When everybody else is hurting and suffering, which most of that is because they're in judgment, but God to us can bring us new things. You can bring us joy. You can bring us things in the middle of the destruction. Wow. before they spring forth, I tell you and them. And I think about, you know, God telling us, get out of the metaverse. Bam. It took us about 6 weeks to get out, but we got out. To this day, we're out. I had, I don't know, 15 email addresses. Imagine that one. But I had to go through each and every one of those emails and deal with all that and wind myself out. It was like going through a maze, winding yourself out and coming out of that. You know, it's totally different than, but he told us that. And then he told us about to get off of YouTube. That was just in time, right before Jim and I took it over. He told us about the iPhone. And, you know, so he has warned us ahead of time. And, oh, another thing I want to tell you is, you know, we was trying to sell this place. Well, we thought about selling it, so we even had a realtor come out here. And she was telling us how unique this place is and whatnot. And so now that we're settled, that we're just going to stay here and ride the storm out. Just whatever happens, it's all yours, Lord. We're done stressing over it and, you know, everything else. But then now we got this storm. We got a wolf at the door. And we got this storm where the grid could literally go down for a month. You know what I mean? Type of grid. And then I'm thinking, this, we are here for this. You know, like, we have all the redundancies you could think of here. You know, it's almost like we left right before the miracle came. There is no way we can find another property just like this one. Do y'all hear where I'm going with this? My fear, my anxiety, my sadness over what is happening out there to the other Christians, to my children, to my family, you know, and the enemy messing with my mind. I almost left my garden. If that makes any sense to anybody out there. But now we're here, and now the storm is here. So I'm just going to ride it out with God, you know. Now, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Isn't God amazing? Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. You that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities. I think about Trish's husband. You know, Trish's husband is a good example of that, because he is a boat captain, and he rides on this boat down the Mississippi River. You know, so he goes down, you know. You that go down to the sea, and all therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. You know something else, Trish, I remember about what your husband told me on that interview? I remember what he said about what the UN is doing. The UN bringing all that military equipment up the Mississippi River and bringing it in through Louisiana. I remember. Yes, I do. Okay. You that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. In other words, I hear God saying, okay, the storm is here. The wolf is at the door. We've been preparing for this. Now it's time to worship. Now it's time to worship. Help us, Lord, to worship you this week while we are disconnected. And to know that each of us are worshiping in our own places. Which, by the way, if I don't have power and stuff, I won't be able to call you, you know, for the prayer calls. But I do believe that I've got the prayer calls set up now to where you guys can call in and talk to each other uninterrupted. So if I'm not able to be here to lead it or whatever, you can still call in and do your morning prayer call. Y'all just have open communications every morning, and then y'all can pray for all of us that are stuck in the storm. Will y'all do that? Just call in the mornings until we're all able to come back, you know, and then we'll have some testimonies. Amen. Won't that be cool? But to you guys that are not affected by the storm, y'all call in and pray for us. And then when we come out of this, we'll come back and do some testimony show. And we'll tell you what God did. Okay, you that go down the sea and all therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar does inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Ain't that something? Ain't this something that God is telling us this on the day before the bottom falls out? Because they're saying for us, it's going to get down to 19 tonight, and the storm is going to arrive in the morning about 5 o'clock in the morning. So we've got today to get ready for this. So I'm going to plastic the office, all my windows here, and then we're going to turn the water off, you know, and drain the water pipe. So this place will be winterized, in other words. But it does have heat because we do have gas heat over here. So at least my equipment and stuff will be able to, you know, stay in warmth. And then I'll just be in the house. You know, we'll be in the house together until this is over. But today we're going to be, you know, spending our last day getting everything ready, like with our pipes and getting the wood. We got... Now, Dennis has enough wood cut on this farm to do us for 3 years. Can you believe that? And so, but he has to go out in the fields and gather the wood and bring it back up here type of deal. And I was telling him, I said, you know, I've got those puppy mats that I'm going to put out on the back porch so Princess won't have to get her feet on knives. Ain't that terrible to have the dog this full? I can just let her out the back door. She can go over there on that pad and come back in. But anyway. But so we'll spend the rest of the day like, because when I get done here with you guys, I'm going to go live and then we can all examine what's happening across the country. But I won't do it anymore after today. Everybody's going to have to ride it out after this morning because we're shutting this building down and, you know, getting ready for over there. But let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Isn't this beautiful? The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. Come on, God, you can do it. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. He is a king. of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Whoa, he is the king. So he's letting us know, wow, he is just really talking to us this morning. He's like, okay, listen here. I put you under my wing. I've got you. I got you. Calm down. I've got my wing around you. I'm going to protect you. Now, you just go out and be you. You be you. I got your back over here. That's what God is saying. Go out there. Love your neighbor. You know, be the light to them. Help them out. And then I'm going to show you what a God I am. All I ask is praise me. Just praise me. And then he says, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. Now, one other thing I want to say about that, about the mighty man. A lot, I know this is a little freaky here, but to you guys that was with me when me and Dennis got married, y'all remember me telling you, I was like, oh, I can't believe how much of a man he is. Hey, he's a little guy. Like, when you see pictures of me and him together, you know, with me being so big and him being so little, he's a little guy, you know. But he is strong as an absolute ox. I told you about that time we was walking back by the pond and I tripped. We was holding hands and I tripped over a root. So I was headed down, you know what I mean? Honey, his arm went bam, like a solid piece of steel. That's the way it felt. And it was like a lock arm, you know, for me to grab a hold of. Anyway, so I see him like a strong, mighty man. But I told you guys as well that when I was with Jesus and I was single and he was my husband, and I told you the battle I had and why I ended up marrying him. And he told me that he was going to show me what a real husband is. He really did. And so I really relate what a real husband is by how I allowed him to be that in my life. So, you know, I talked to him like a husband and he would take care of me like a husband, and I really saw what a husband should really be. So when it come time after the 20-something years being single for me to marry Dennis, the Lord came to me in a dream, you know, a couple of nights before. And he told me, he said, I want you to treat Dennis like you do me. And I was like, what? He said, yes, I want you to treat him like you do me. I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. I mean, because with the Lord, I was total subservient, you know. And the battle that I've had as a woman with the alcoholic upbringing and my shady past and my all the stuff I've been with rejection and everything, I'm a fighter to the bone, survivalist, you know, I don't need no man attitude, you know what I mean? That's why it took me so long to get married. But anyway, so when the Lord tells me this in this dream, I'm like, whoa, because Jesus at that time was the only man I ever really trusted. Excuse me. So I was 100% subservient, yes, sir, doing what he says, you know. So he was telling me to do my husband that's coming in that same way. It was a lot to ask of me. <You know? laughs> So when me and Dennis got married and I started doing that, when he would just say something, I'd say, yes, sir. Yeah, it lasted about two weeks. It lasted about 2 weeks, and Dennis sat me down one day, and he goes, I got to tell you something. I said, what? He said, stop doing that. I'm like, doing what? He said, you just do everything I tell you. I don't even know who I married. He said, I thought I was marrying. This is so funny. He said, I thought I was marrying the person I was watching online. That strong woman, you know. And then I told him, you know, about my encounter with the Lord. And how God told me, you know, to treat you like I did Jesus. And he said, I can't handle this. You know, he's like, I want a woman that can think, you know. And so we came up with a good balance, you know. But it was a learning curve. I still am under his authority, most definitely. I do believe a woman is supposed to be under authority. And I do want to say this because I have a feeling somebody's listening to me that is called in ministry and your husband is not letting you do it. Or he doesn't support you doing it, but you do it anyway, so it's brought a rift between you and him. I want to tell you a story. When God sent me to serve all these ministries across the country, they were all women preachers. And why he did that, I have no idea. But every one of them was pastors of a church. But there was this one woman I went to serve, and she called herself Apostle. I am an apostle, you know. And so she told me a story about her husband. She said she used to be like that, boy. She used to be a full-time pastor, and her husband did not come to the church. He didn't support her. And she felt like she was obeying God, so she is doing her own thing and leaving him sitting. And the Lord spoke to her one day, and he said, I want you to quit ministry. And she goes, what? And he said, I said, I want you to stop doing ministry, and I want you to submit to your husband. And y'all know, if anybody out there is a strong woman, what that is asking of that woman. Because, okay, I can put myself in her shoes and probably tell you what she's thinking. I can tell you what the woman's thinking. I ain't giving up myself for no man. It's his deal. He can't deal with it. He just don't want to give up the price to be in ministry like I'm having to give up. So why should I slow myself down for him because he wants to be a slacker? You know, these are the kind of things you think. You know, I'm going forward whether he goes or not. But God said, no, you stop. So, whew, she had to really battle this one. But the time comes. And she went to go see her husband. She sat him down. She said, I got something to tell you. And he said, what? She said, God told me to stop my ministry because you do not approve of it. And so I am. I am going to just serve you and be a wife. And he said, what? You're really going to stop being a minister to be my wife? And she said, yes, I am. And she did. And after a couple of weeks, when he saw that she was serious and that she left her ministry and started serving him and everything, she said it changed his heart. And he come back to her one day and he set her down. And he said, you know what? I never thought you would ever do that. He said, but now that I know, you know, that you will do that for me, he said, I have changed my mind. He said, I really do want to support you. I want you to obey God, and I want you to be all that you're called to be. So I'm going to support you from now on. And ever since then, he went to, and it lasted, I think, 30 more years. He went to the church. He would go to the pulpit and he would set her purse. I mean, not her purse, but her Bible up there on that pulpit. And he would prepare the way for her. And then he would sit on the front row and support his wife. And he did till the day he died. Yep. So I encourage you women, make sure you're hearing the Lord. Because there is order. See, when I married Dennis, I was a full-time pastor. And the Lord did tell me I was going to marry a pastor, but Dennis wasn't a pastor. But after we got married and I was the head pastor, the Lord called him on his own. I had nothing to do with it. And he set me down one day about 3 weeks after we got married. A lot of you may even remember this because we went live and told you guys. But he set me down and he told me, he said, I am hearing God tell me to be a preacher, to be the pastor. And I'm like, wow, really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, wow. I said, well, let's go to this church on Sunday and see if God, because we was invited to this one church, and see if God will confirm it, okay? And so we went to the church, and man, that pastor got up there and preached, and I mean confirmed it. And then afterwards, you know, we went to the altar and everything, and God gave him a word. So we went live, and we told the church, we have an announcement to make. The Lord has actually called Dennis to be the head pastor. And I am to sit down. Do y'all remember that broadcast? I said, I'm to sit down and let him take the head. So what I'm asking you guys, because y'all have been with me for years, is that you will trust him. Do y'all know a lot of people left my ministry over that? Sure did. I lost half my people over that decision. But I told them, you know, will you give him a chance? And let him fall. Let him make mistakes. Let him grow, you know. And sure enough, I did. That next Sunday, he was very nervous. So he asked me if I'd preach it with him. So we kind of, you know, did a little tag team preaching. But after, that's all it took. After that, bam, he took off like a rocket. And now, you know, he's been doing it now 3.5 years. And he gets better every time. And it's right to me now. Every single time, I get something out of it every time. So, anyway, let's go back to the word here. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. Now, I kind of see this in a weird way. Now, y'all bear with me because I'm going to go ahead and say it. What the first thing I thought of when I read that. I told y'all I haven't read this yet, so you get all fresh off the press stuff. Okay, when I see this, I think about what the word says about Gentiles. You know, the Gentiles are meant to make the Jews jealous. Remember that. And I don't think it's in a bad way, per se. It just means the covenant. Jesus's covenant overrides the old covenant. It's a jealousy thing. But this is what they don't like. They don't like it that we have the helm, that we have Jesus, that we have the new covenant that overrides the old covenant. And so, but it's meant to make them jealous so that they will come back to, they will realize who Jesus is. But I see this in this way. And I've told you guys, I have warned you guys, be careful with your blessings. you know. You notice I don't show stuff like I used to because people are different now. You know, be careful with your blessings. Because when it says here, like, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man, he is going to do miracles. But be careful what you share with others about those miracles. Because it will stir up jealousy like a man of war. I mean it. Let's say, for instance, okay, let's say you have my street and everybody's grid goes down. And then it's longer than expected and all these people are suffering, but we are warm and cozy and full of food in our house. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? The blessings of God, the hand of God, you know, he's went forth before us. We're safe, you know, we're peaceful, we're singing, we're, you know, rejoicing in his, basking in his bountiful basket, if that makes any sense. And then the ones that are in judgment because they refuse to submit are suffering. So they are angry. You see what I mean? It's a jealousy thing. He shall cry, yes, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Let's all lift our hands right now. Say, Jesus, we thank you so much that you have went before us and you have prepared the way. Thank you that you are our mighty man. And thank you that you will prevail and help us to prevail against our enemies. In Jesus' name, amen. I have long time held my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. I will make the rivers islands. And I will dry up the pools. Man, boy, this is a judgment, isn't it? And I will bring the blind by the way they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. We receive this right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He will take care of us, bride. That's what he's saying this morning. He will make our crooked paths straight. He'll work it out. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images. Ain't that going to be sad? It is so sad when we have seen people die, isn't it? When we have seen them die needlessly and stuff. That have trusted in graven images. That say to the molten images, you are our gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but you observe not, opening the ears, but he hears not. Isn't that sad? The Lord is well pleased. For his righteousness' sake, he will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith restore. Wow. I can't help it, guys, that I think about the very church that we just prayed for before we read this word. We prayed for our NAR brothers and sisters out here that are caught up in this snare, that trusted these people because they preached 90% good. You know, they preached about you needed salvation, you need healing, you need to get deliverance from demons. You know, they used to preach this way. But now that the beast is coming, it's another picture. We see it going just straight towards the beast. They're a prey. They're in prison. See? Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. See, this is what I'm trying to tell you, Brad. These people are in judgment. And it's not meant for us to reach in there and save them out of judgment. It's to allow them to see God in their judgment. I'm not your God, people. God is your God. You need to cry out to God. You need to see your need of a Savior. See? Because they are refusing to walk in the ways of God or to even be obedient to His word. Therefore, He has poured upon him the fury of His anger and the strength of battle. And it has set him on fire round about, yet he did not even know it. Isn't that sad? And it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. He can't even see the forest for the trees. He can't see that everything around him is burning to the ground. It's all collapsing. Everything you think you have is collapsing. It's all an illusion. You know? Can you imagine what people think about us? You know, when we try to explain to them what we see and what we know, I mean, they look at us like we're crazy, right? But we try to tell people all this stuff is just an illusion. It's going to fade away. You're going to lose it, people. You know. But anyway, that's the word of the Lord today, encouraging everybody. Come on now. Trust in me. Get under my wing. Just worship me because I have went before you. I have prepared the way. I am going to protect you. My hand is going to be upon you. Remember what we talked about when he says the hand is upon us. Oh, it's like being in the wing of that chicken. It's the protection, it's the safety, it's the warmth, it's the love, it's the guidance, you know. So let me just pray for everybody and then we'll be done. Lord, we just thank you so much for your encouraging word this morning. Lord, we thank you that you're confirming to us that if we will trust you as God, that you will show us what a mighty man he is. Glory, hallelujah. You also confirmed us that you will make our crooked path straight. How we worship you and praise you for your mercy and grace this morning, Lord. You are so worthy to be praised. You are so worthy, Lord. We thank you so much. We give you praise and glory today, Lord. We do give you glory for our life. We give you glory for all the things you have done, the things you're doing now, and the things that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I also want to pray once again for all the people in the path of the storm. Lord, that you would help us to remember this, to sing this week, to worship this week, knowing, Lord, that you have us under the cleft of the rock, that you are literally just holding us and loving us through this, Lord, and to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Bride, Bruce up in Canada is going to pray for all of us about this storm. Go ahead, sir.
Holy, holy God, our Father who art in heaven, we pray to you, Lord. You are yes. Almighty God. You have created everything. You have created us. And you are in yes. control of all things on this world. You say that we have not because we ask not. We ask today, Lord. We gather together as a bride. And we ask you for your protection. Lord, the storm is coming, they tell us. We are not afraid, but we have you.
Lord.
We ask your hands to be on all of us and our families and our animals and our properties.
Lord.
We pray you protect us, Lord, and even if possible, keep the lights on in our areas.
Yeah.
That we would have heat. Lord, you can do all things. And we ask for your protection today and for the weekend. Please get us through this storm, Lord. And may even people see that your hand has protected us
as
your people. Thank you, God. Please bless us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Amen.